Hello and welcome to the only podcast where we're used to talking about Force Geists, but today we'll be talking about Zeitgeists. I'm Matt.
I'm Luke.
And I'm Max.
I didn't deserve a laugh, and this is Force for Thought.
I appreciate it.
I don't think I know what a Force Geist is.
Is it just a ghost?
Yeah.
Force Ghost?
Geist is just ghost or spirit in German.
Mm.
So Geist, yeah, Rheingeist.
I'm not up on my German lore.
Oh, that's why. That's see. There's the disconnect. There's the one and only disconnect in that joke.
What is Zeit that we're talking about? Zeitgeist.
Time in German.
So we're talking about time ghosts today.
Technically, yeah, the spirit of time. So spirit the Zeitgeist. So
I know even less about Zeitgeist than I did before we started. That just confused me more.
Hello and welcome back to Force for Thought, everybody. As the joke aforementioned, we're talking about Star Wars and the Zeitgeist today. The Zeitgeist literally, I guess, means, again, the spirit of time, or, you know, how... What?
What does it mean? I'm lost.
It's in the culture, like how, you know, it's the Zeitgeist. It hits the vein of the culture at the time and stays in there forever. It just hits the Zeitgeist in the perfect moment. It's like the perfect... It's like lightning in a bottle, kind of, except that lightning keeps bouncing around that bottle for 40-something years in Star Wars.
You know that quote where people say, like, it's better to not say anything and let other people assume you're ignorant rather than to speak and remove all doubt?
Yes, but
that's
how
I feel about this right now.
Okay.
I'm just sitting back. I'm like, I don't think I know anything of what the word Zeitgeist even means.
Man, so when I pitched this episode and you guys were like, yeah, maybe. And
then this is why we were like, hey, Matt, why don't you host that episode? Because Luke and I are like, what the fuck's a Zeitgeist?
So I don't know if anybody's been able to see, but I feel like when I host episodes, when we had our Why Do We Like Star Wars episode, I feel like I like to think about things a little bit bigger picture sometimes. I love the dumb stuff or to be in nitty gritty, but I also like to think about how things are affecting culture and stuff. And then maybe that's like... I don't know, pompous or high level or something, but I like to think about like art and stuff on a different level and also like pop culture and how it affects the world a little bit too. And as I say that, it sounds dicky, but I feel like, you know, I like Star Wars for Star Wars. Watch our next week's episode when we rank bounty hunters, for example. Very fun. That's the order these come out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you looked at me very weird, so I just wanted to confirm.
Because we were both thinking about it. We were like, oh. Yeah, okay, here's check.
Yep,
out.
I'm pretty sure. I was right for once. But in this episode, we're going to dive in a little bit of Star Wars in the Zeitgeist. You know, we're going to talk about how somebody we've mentioned and we've talked to our friend Sway about Andor, well, almost a year ago at this point. And she, when we were talking about that, we're like, do you, Max, I believe you said this phrase. You were just like, how do you know Star, she's never seen Star Wars besides Andor or Mando. And you're like, so you just know these quotes, you know these things about Star Wars just from the Zeitgeist. And that's what it's just in the air, right? It enters the Zeitgeist and it stays there. It's again, the spirit of time. It's like, it's literally a ghost lingering since 1977. So I have a couple topics that we can go through today, talking about quotes in the media, the film industry itself, and then honestly, and then the world.
The more I learn about Zeitgeist, the more I regret not laughing at your intro joke. That's hilarious. If Geist means ghost, if I knew that, it'd have gotten
Geist.
A hearty chuckle.
Do it here so we can put
chuckle.
It in.
All right, you got to say it again.
All right, hello and welcome to the only podcast where we're used to talking about Force Geists, but today we're talking about Zeitgeist.
Oh! Woohoo!
A zinger.
Oh, man. My intense knowledge of German language really impacted that joke.
Because as everyone knows, Zeit in German means time and Geist means ghost or spirit.
Yes, exactly.
Of course.
Zeit to get started on the episode.
Yeah. Man.
That's going to come together great in post.
Yeah. Please don't edit it. Leave it in. This is how it is. So
Zeit's ticking, Mac.
Yeah, sorry. We can get started out. Star Wars is one of the most popular franchises of all time. Obviously, it started in 1977, and it burst into the scene, and the world and the movies were honestly never the same, right? You got injected into the Zeitgeist, and it has been there forever. But then, you know, so how did we start it, and how did we perceive it then at the time and currently now? And I was writing a little bit today about this, and I feel like I came to some conclusions for myself, and I feel like I also use this podcast specifically to argue with Luke about, you know, Han, about Kenobi's brother, or wanting to see Zeb, but I also feel like I use this podcast as a platform to try to figure out why I like Star Wars, why other people do, and how it affected the culture, because it is such a mystery to me, even though we've been, we've loved it for so many years. So when you guys think of, like, quotes, for example, like, what quotes did you know, does everybody, every single person know that hasn't seen Star Wars or has not seen Star Wars?
May the Force be with you.
Yeah, yes. I am your father.
Yep. And well, I was just going to say, Luke, I'm your father, right? That's how everybody misquotes it. That's like the biggest one of all time, I feel like. It's like, Luke, I'm your father. And it's like, no, it's
common misnomer.
Exactly. It's a trap.
I think Luke can speak from experience. Has anyone ever told you that ever?
Yes.
You have? You've gotten that once or twice?
Are you joking because you've talked about how much I hate it? Yes. So many times. I hate it to no end. Like, I love Star Wars and I still hate it. Like, oh, you're my father. Are these the droids I'm looking for? You want me to use the Force? You're hilarious.
So as everyone knows, two of the three of us have a signed poster from John Jackson Miller. And when we were talking to him at that convention, Luke introduced himself and he said, oh, I'm Luke. And he was like, oh, that's a great Star Wars name. And for some reason, Luke was like, fuck off, John Jackson Miller. And I thought it was aggressive, but this makes sense now. Now I understand where you were coming from.
People with such regular-ass names as John Jackson Miller always take it for granted.
And he was looking down. He thought I said that, I bet. That's why I didn't get the poster.
That's why he hates you.
It all just clicked. Man.
I was very polite to John Jackson Miller.
Yeah.
I feel like being named Luke is a lot like being named Jake, where people are like, oh, Jake from State Farm. Or Aaron. Same thing. People are like, oh, Aaron. You know,
yeah.
Like,
Aaron.
All right. I've heard it before.
Yep.
None of those are my names, but I'm already frustrated for anyone who is named that.
My wife has not seen the Aaron skit or ever heard of it. So when we were talking about potential names for our baby, and she mentioned Aaron, and I was like, nope, hate that because of the Aaron thing. And she was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I said, all right, you just got to trust me. I hate it. And we can't
you
do
just
it.
Just got to trust
Interesting.
Me.
Interesting. The fact you didn't show it to her.
I don't think she would have liked it.
All right. No justification. You could be making anything up and she'd believe you, it sounds like. Now
how funny.
Our marriage is built on trust.
If you're being 100% objective, how funny is that skit?
It's great.
Not that funny.
I don't think so either.
The Aaron part is the only one where it's like that name could be like a ghetto name, but like D-Nice,
I don't know if it's just because
ghetto,
it has
so
become
maybe
so popular that I just feel jaded to it, but that's exactly how I feel. I'm just like, I feel like that skit is just very overrated. Like, it was a funny idea, but it's like...
Especially in terms of Key and Peele skits, because most every single one is actually hilarious. I think that's very bottom of the tier.
That one just made into the zeitgeist.
It did make it into the zeitgeist.
Speaking of zeitgeists...
The spirit of time.
Exactly. And so these quotes, I feel like, are... Every single person knows when we were talking about.
We can't have a transition that was that smooth. That was good, guys.
That was.
We need to get some ads on here because that was professional as shit.
I know.
Do you have that?
I thought you
were about to click it.
We'll start this. Yeah, I was like, you son of a bitch. We should start. This is our demo for people, for sponsors.
Real quick, spectacles. Make your spectacles a spectacle.
I was thinking about like why these are injected into the zeitgeist itself. Now I just feel like this is my Rogue One or something as well, because I feel like I'm just gonna be talking at you guys, so if you have anything to say, please.
The knowledge gap is substantial going into this,
but I was thinking about why in 1977, and I feel like it's the same thing when we were kids for the prequel trilogy. The prequel trilogy doesn't have as many quotes, I would say, that we quote on a daily basis or weekly basis. Like, can you think of anything from the prequels, for example?
Oh,
you must not be hip to prequel
I hate
games.
Sand. Yep. Well, so here's the thing. Yep, I'm an idiot. So that's I was focusing mainly on the original trilogy, and now I've gotten further. Sorry, Luke. Go ahead.
I mean, spoiler alert for my force for thought, but I've been rewatching Revenge of the Sith, and like almost every single line I chuckle at out of universe for meme purposes.
There it is. See, I am the least hip out of all three of us, for sure, as well. Old, reliable, and
old.
Just,
yeah, you're
just
the oldest
old,
of us.
Yeah, by like a couple months.
a long time.
Chill out. But I was thinking about like why these quotes stick around, and I feel like a lot of it was because of, like, let's go the meme route, and I feel like the like millennials. Man, let's go from 77. Let's just start from the beginning.
The boomers.
I honestly feel like in 77, when you had to go to the movies to see Star Wars, right? And I think it was all the gas, right? Everyone wanted to go see it. And like my uncle, I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, loved Star Wars when he was a teenager. It came out, I think, when he was 15 or 16. And he saw it like 17 times in theaters in that single year. And that was the only way you ever saw anything. My mom's favorite movie, Wizard of Oz, was only on TV like once or twice a year. Like, you didn't have home entertainment. And so I feel like for those people who didn't see it, or those people who did see it, you would just repeat quotes at your lunch table or in your friend's basement after school. And I feel like that is how it's almost like a game of telephone. Like, Luke, I'm your father, to like, no, I am your father. Like, that line specifically literally feels like a game of telephone, where it was passed around so many times that it just became a different thing of its itself. Like, that quote is almost, is if not more famous than the actual quote. And people are like, no, I am your father. It's like, I don't know at this point. Like, Luke, I'm your father is like maybe the most famous quote of all time, and it's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the same thing with meme culture is that us as millennials, right? Between 77 and 99,
I identify as Gen Z.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. But
generation's what ruining America.
Yeah,
I know. I can't imagine how much the next one's going to ruin America.
Can't
wait. And I feel like from 77 to 99, a lot of technology advanced, right? Sure. What? What? Say it.
I just noticed you put the dreidel up behind you. I didn't know if Luke ever noticed.
I did notice the dreidel. I didn't know you put it there.
I was waiting for someone to know. I was waiting for someone to see.
I just saw it.
Why do you have a dreidel, Matt?
We have an ongoing joke that Matt is secretly Jewish. We don't know yet.
He's a closeted Jew.
2% Ashkenazi. Anyway, I feel like that technology advancing from 77 to 99 happened a lot, right? But in 99, or when we even in 2002, the internet was not the biggest thing as it is today, right? It's not a huge monster. And so I feel like when we saw those movies, we were doing the same thing by quoting it over and over again. And then we just grew up with technology and then made memes, and then the whole meme culture exploded. And so I feel like those are why those quotes live on through infamy. Because whether you're a Star Wars fan or not, people, I feel like my grandma sends me Star Wars gifts. Maybe it's because she knows I like Star Wars, but I feel like everyone sends that kind of stuff. And I feel like now it is living in its own separate thing. Like, you can know these quotes, even It's a Trap. How many times have you seen It's a Frap, relating to some sort of Starbucks drink or something? Like, people that don't know anything, I feel like, quote these quotes that are like, I don't think anybody knows that that's like Admiral Akbar would even say that. It's like, it's a frap or it's a trap. It's like, yeah, I know it's funny, but like, you know where that's from? Like, can you? So I feel like it lives in itself and in these quotes as well.
We should start gatekeeping Star Wars more.
Yeah, exactly. It's for us, no one else.
You think you know Star Wars? Name three Mon Collins.
Name three Mon Collins.
Other than Guile Akbar.
And I think that's the same thing with going into different media, is that just, I feel like it is in all these different shows. It's in meme formats. It's in GIFs all the time. And we're using these all consistently. And I feel like, Star Wars is so popular that it feeds into itself. It's its own monster that is just consistently repeating. When we're talking about, Luke's favorite movie, Spaceballs, we're talking about the episode of that 70s show when Star Wars comes out, and then like Eric has a dream about Donna, that she's Princess Leia. We have The Simpsons consistently referencing, which I'd love to do a whole episode, as you guys know, about Simpsons references in Star Wars. Maybe that's a Rogue One, probably a shorter Rogue One, but like, there's, it's always consistently referenced in Simpsons. Family Guy has its own trilogy of spoofs. They do. There's a movie, Fanboys, who was written by, I forget his name, but he's from Ohio. He's from Ashland, which is where our friend Josh is from.
And where Matt filmed his movie, Obscura.
That is true, too. Yeah, so famous for two reasons. And probably meth.
Got three reasons. Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
That's yeah. True. Grandpa's Cheese Barn, yeah, probably the most famous out of all three of those. But I feel like it's one of these things that I was thinking about in Star Wars. Like, can you guys think of like Star Wars and media? Sorry, I wanted this to be more of a discussion than just me talking at you guys, too.
I'm trying to identify with the people that aren't living, breathing Star Wars all the time, like you're saying, and I'm having a hard time doing it. Mm-hmm. So... no, I cannot contribute all right now. Max, how you doing?
I got a couple unrelated thoughts. Because I'm trying to think
of
other TV shows that also have Star Wars episodes, because it happens all the time. There was a similar episode in Friends where Ross wanted Rachel to wear the Leia outfit. Just
Leia outfit?
The Hutt Slayer outfit. The one right behind your head.
Because he has a poster of Return of the Jedi. He doesn't just have a poster of Leia in her bikini.
That's true.
Thank you for clarifying that for those who aren't watching.
Not only is it not just a poster of her, it's a full statue?
Thanks, made it myself. But no, I also, like going back to the quotes, I also think that's interesting and just like how much people know about Star Wars who have never seen it. And that's why I want to encourage our listeners, if you haven't already, go back and listen to our episode where we did our Andor review, because that was the episode that we did with Sway. And like Matt said, she's only ever seen Andor and
Mando
and Mandalorian. She had never even seen Rogue One, and she was planning on seeing it afterwards. And I recall in that discussion, I was like, so what are your predictions for Rogue One? And she said, oh, I forget what she said now, but it was something where she was like, oh, I think they're going to finish building the Death Star or something like that. And I was like, interesting. Like you have like, she just has like zero idea of like what happens. And I thought that was really neat. I don't know.
There's not many people, especially like,
How else? Who else does that apply to? Like, is there anyone out there who doesn't know that Darth Vader is Luke's father? Like, do they know the line, Luke, I am your father, but they just have no idea what that reference is?
There's a potential. I mean, I think if you start a New Hope, you're probably going to know, well, these are the seven characters I'm going to focus on. One of these characters is his father, and one of them has a respirator, basically.
Isn't Vader German for father? It's father in another language.
I don't know that.
Luke, you're a German expert.
I was hoping Matt was our German expert. Because it's a dead giveaway if German language is such a factoid in American culture like apparently it is.
And it's also just interesting to me what quotes always stand out and like people who remember quotes. Within our family alone, our oldest brother, Jake, he is very, very good at identifying actors. Like his skill in life is seeing someone on screen for a split second and being like, oh, that person was also in a split second cameo on this TV show and in this movie stuff and too. And then our other brother, Alex, has the exact opposite. I'm pretty sure he has face blindness. He knows no famous person's name. Like, you can ask him about the most famous actor in the world, and he would be like, I have no idea who that actor is. But he can give you, like, the most obscure quotes from any movie he's ever seen.
That's hilarious. That makes a lot of sense for your brother's personalities, I feel like.
Yeah. It would be interesting to do some sort of psychiatric deep dive into that.
Yes. Maybe just the Taylor's
in general.
Not for
me. I don't think I want to know, but an interesting topic for anyone else out there.
And I was thinking about, exactly, like, how does anybody that doesn't know Star Wars know Star Wars? And I think that's kind of going into other media. I was thinking specifically about two different examples, and it's one is The Goonies and one is Stranger Things. And I feel like at its core, in real life, in the 80s when The Goonies was made, those kids would like Star Wars, right? And so in the 80s, there's a heyday of kids on bike stories. So those kids are naturally wearing Star Wars t-shirts during the movies, right? They're for costumes. They naturally have Star Wars posters in the background. They naturally are talking about them, naturally pretending to play lightsabers. It's a cultural thing that was happening at the time. And so during this heyday, when a lot of the movies take place with kids, they were just naturally doing these things which happened to reference Star Wars. So when we're watching them years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, we're still thinking about Star Wars when we're not thinking about Star Wars, because all of these things are mentioning them. Even when we're saying like, oh, Mikey, he doesn't, but like Mikey's wearing a Star Wars shirt in Goonies. It's like, I'm thinking about Star Wars now and I'm liking Mikey more because I can relate to him as a character. And so even when Star Wars isn't on, we're still thinking about it because it was just at that time in the 90s, kid movies weren't necessarily the focused the same, right? You had like Adventures of the Babysitter and things like that, but they weren't like The Goonies or E.T. and these kids on bike stories. They were a little bit more wholesome. You have like Uncle Buck, things like that. And I feel like when Stranger Things came out, it was kind of the peak of this nostalgia kick, I feel like, in 2016, or maybe it's just the start of it. Kind of started with Force Awakens, to be honest, and in Stranger Things. And so when Stranger Things looked back and did the 80s, they were like, well, everybody in 80s movies, this is how they referenced it. And it was all Star Wars all the time. And again, it was the Duffer brothers' real life growing up with Star Wars. So they did the same thing. So once again, we're doing the same thing 30 years later, and it's just re-referencing the same things over and over again. So we're consistently thinking about Star Wars all the time while we're consuming other media. So not only, even if you're not a fan of Star Wars, you understand what it is because other characters that you're watching are doing it or participating in some way in it. And that's like, what other IP does that? It's DC doesn't. Marvel doesn't. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, you can't watch an 80s movie and they don't really talk about Batman or Superman. because they weren't even cool back then. Star Wars has somehow been cool since 1977, in culture at least. Because I remember getting made fun of liking Star Wars when I was growing up for the prequels. But somehow it has lasted. Again, nerd culture was always stronger, I guess. I feel like you've been thinking a lot, Luke. Do you have anything to say to that?
I don't want to disappoint you, but I honestly don't. Like I said before, I can't even fathom identifying with the side of culture and society that hasn't experienced Star Wars in the same manner that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think even from my wife's point of view. She wasn't a Star Wars fan before we got together, and I guess she probably still isn't now by definition. But, I mean...
Just trying.
What is the definition? If I asked her if she likes Star Wars, what would she say?
No.
She would say no?
She wouldn't say I dislike it, but if you asked her if she likes Star Wars, she wouldn't say yes.
Hmm.
So, anyway, that's disappointing. No, I think she would say yes. I'll ask her. I'm going to text her. I think so. Anyway, we're consuming Star Wars in media, even though we're not consuming actual Star Wars in media. And then I was thinking about, why are we doing that? Or how did this even start, right? You guys seem so bored with this episode.
I'm not. I'm just trying to find a way to talk about it. I just don't have anything to say.
Luke has never found a way to not talk more about Star Wars.
I was just going to say, he was just like, what are we going to mention Forlom again or something? So then I was
thinking, next week we talk a lot about Forlom.
We do indeed. And so this is going to be the worst part for you, Luke, I feel like. But how do we get to that point in the 80s, right? When that was consistently kind of consuming itself. And then from there on, basically, it's been doing the same thing. And I think within the industry, Star Wars basically was able to revitalize a sleeper genre. And by sleeper genre, I mean in the 60s and early 70s, there's TV shows and movies like Buck Rogers, Star Trek, the original series, and Flash Gordon that paved the way for audiences to understand sci-fi on a big and large scale. But then it kind of stalled out. You get the hippy-dippy structure of movies like Five Easy Pieces and Clockwork Orange of the 70s and late 60s and 70s. And then I think those take more precedence. And then you have things like Logan's Run, which I always rip on, I feel like, which is just such a, I think, a bad sci-fi movie. So you get these structureless sci-fi messes that all are very cheap. They're all very bland, especially in comparison to Star Wars. Star Wars, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but you have the perfect combination of people. John Dykstra, John Williams, you have all the actors. I feel like you have all these people that are able to make this perfect. And I feel like you have a lot of other really unadventurous sci-fi movies that fall flat and boring. And so sci-fi became this genre that people were used to, but it has stalled out for literal years at that point, I feel like. It was all the rage, but like they were just consistently making bad 70s sci-fi movies, I feel like. And so then Star Wars came along, and I think it perfected it. It literally did a Stranger Things version. It combined everything. It combined intrigue and nostalgia, I feel like. And for something that's brand new as Star Wars, I think it combined nostalgia for the fact that people, again, 10 years ago who liked Star Trek, or 5 years ago who liked Flash Gordon, now will instantly like Star Wars. So it literally revitalized a sleeper genre, which I feel like is currently happening with indie films. You know, as superhero movies are kind of going a bit downhill, people aren't liking them, right? It's the fatigue. I'm working on a movie called I Saw the TV Glow. It's very good, very weird, very indie. And it's reminding me of like things like Little Miss Sunshine. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of the sleeper genre that superhero movies kind of paved out of the way. And now I feel like it's going to come back with like a big gusto. Again, they did a bigger job of anything for Star Wars. And not only that, but then they created this huge thing that was appealing to adult and kids alike. And then in pushing that further with the kids is that they sold the 3-inch action figures, which is like the first of its kind really for that time. And they did this because it was cheaper, right? They're cheaper to produce smaller plastic. I remember my dad's toys, when I would go to my grandparents' house, are like massive, like old, I don't know, like G.I. Joes and stuff that are all like plastic. And that was like the kind of the norm. And so when you have something coming up for 3 inches, it blew up. You have, action figures like Boba Fett, action figures like Luke and Han and stuff too. And there was a holiday shortage of action figures in 77, so much so that a lot of kids would get gifts of vouchers to exchange their vouchers for an action figure in April or whatever, in the spring after Christmas. That's how popular things were. And like, I feel like Star Wars in culture blew up left and right from the action figure craze. Cause again, you have supply and demand. If you're doing, if you're giving audiences less supply, but the demand is so high, it's going to become even more popular. You're going to want that action figure more and more. I still want all the hot toys that I don't have.
I never thought about the impact that the action figures and that the toys would have on Star Wars within the culture.
Yeah.
But I think that is probably a big part of it. Like, I think,
yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone loved Star Wars, but had they not immediately capitalized with all their branding and toys deal on all their toys and everything, it probably would have been forgotten. And, you know, maybe 3 years later when Empire comes out, people wouldn't be that excited because,
yeah,
the holiday special came out before.
Exactly.
And they would have been like, yeah, I think I'm good, you know? But yeah, I feel like there probably is something special about the toys specifically. And maybe George Lucas knew that because he famously accepted little to no money to make Star Wars, but
yeah,
he said, I just want the toy rights.
Check my Rogue One out.
Yeah.
I think it was.
So yeah, it's interesting how much that probably made an impact where people couldn't escape it. And it's like, you're just literally surrounded by it because now you have all these toys. And when the next one comes out, it's like, absolutely, I'm going to go see it. I have all the toys.
Yep. And they sold them in sets and stuff too. So you would pre-order like 12 action figures and it was like, well, I'm not gonna be able to get these until the spring now. But it's like, even when they would sell, like in the 70s, they would have cardboard cutout versions. It would be on the voucher. So at least you had a cardboard cutout to play with.
Oh, that's so sad.
Isn't it? How 70s is that, though? Just being like, little kid. Like, but, you know, it's like that shortage.
That would be a Christmas gift, too.
That would be a Christmas gift to somebody, exactly. And I think it's one of those things where, it's like, again, the intrigue is higher. And then if you're a parent, you're like, what is a big deal with these action figures? And so then the parents are probably going to go see it.
It's got to be frustrating for them. Like, just buy them a Star Trek toy and tell them it's that.
Maybe, probably, but then the parents would probably want to go see the movie too then, because they're so interested in, like, what is this? And presumably at the time, you're probably like, well, Darth Vader? Like, that seems like kind of dark and weird for a kid's movie. And then the parents are probably going and seeing it, and they're probably misquoting things at the water cooler at work. Hence going a little quote back to the quote section. Little quote back to the quote section. I don't know. My brain's mush. This is the second episode of recording. And then the other thing is within the industry is that the story structure of the 70s was very loose. Again, like the Clockwork Orange, very odd story structure. It's not very traditional. And so when I also talk about the sleeper genre, the Star Wars went back to being able to have a very logical story structure of act 1, 2, 3, you know, here are the characters, here's their mission, here's how they defeat the bad guy. And in the 70s, a lot of it was not like that. It was very fluent because it was, you know, hippy dippy 70s. And I don't think like, you know, if 10 years before it would have worked either, because I think you needed to go through that experimental phase in order for people to want to go back to that story structure. Anyway, and they also sent the precedent of how we view movies today, because I don't think they ever went back to, I mean, there's obviously movie industry is much bigger than it was back then, but there's a lot more room for movies to be have different structures. But I feel like that is really what led to Jaws and then the modern blockbuster. And I feel like you can really draw a line from Star Wars to Jaws to modern day movies and how we see them and view them. Like, have you guys ever even heard of Five Easy Pieces?
I thought Jaws came out before Star Wars. It didn't?
Yeah, you're right. 75, yeah. So Jaws to Star Wars to current day. Good call, Luke.
Thank you.
I'm so proud
of
you.
Old movies. I've seen them.
That is true. And then lastly, the world. How, you know, the zeitgeist. So again, talking about the zeitgeist in Star Wars of like why I think kind of impacted it. This should maybe just have been a Rogue One, I'm realizing. Maybe we should just rebrand this one. Like most media franchises or successful franchises, films and records and shows, Star Wars, much like all these things, show kind of hold up a mirror to the real world or even a nugget of it, right? Star Wars was released 2 years after the Vietnam War ended and just as the Cold War is on the horizon, which is kind of giving the Empire a familiar face, right? It gives somebody to blame. It gives somebody, I think in the madness of the world, it gives some sort of structure and order to it. And so I feel like instantly when you're like coming off of Vietnam and the Cold War is kind of on the horizon, you're like Darth Vader, stormtroopers, Emperor bad, we are all and you see yourselves in the rebellion, right? And I think that when, especially for Vietnam times and stuff, I feel like again, we talked a lot about this in college because I was a film student, but like the idea that and obviously there's a lot of parallels with the Nazis and then the Empire, but I think you want to be able to relate it somehow to your life. And I feel like Star Wars was it lightning in a bottle. And the fact that it was a perfect time, if it came out in 75, it almost could have been like war propaganda almost feel like, and I feel like it could have been used against it. But the fact that it was 2 years after the Vietnam War ended was perfect, I feel like. Because I don't think it could have came out like a couple years later, even with the Cold War. It would have been too scary. But I think at the time, the same thing with the Harry Potter series. Aren't you guys glad now? Say, now I'm getting on a film film rant. But like the Harry Potter series, the movies, which were so successful because Harry Potter was successful. But it, I think, even heightened further because after 9/11, do you guys think I was going to talk about 9/11 during this episode? After 9/11, the people wanted a person and a group to villainize a little bit. And so Voldemort really realistically represented, I feel like, you know, after 9/11, you just want to attach to that and you see the good versus evil. And I feel like those movies, you know, you look at horror movies too. It's the same thing. It's just like, there's like the satanic panic and stuff. And you, all these monster movies, I feel like can reflect that culture, and that idea that people are latching onto, the villain, the bad guy, and you can see yourself in these other characters who are good. But yeah, it's a little bit of comfort, I think, in understanding of the madness of the world. Again, if it was released in 67 or 57, I don't think Star Wars would have been nearly as successful. Because again, I think you need to go through that experimental phase. I don't think you could have gone through the Summer of Love and Woodstock in 69, for example, and Star Wars haven't been out for 2 years by then. Like, that would have been weird. You need to have gone through that, again, Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces, loose structure of filmmaking, I think, in order to actually get there. And I think back then, when things are loose and you're thinking of like Vietnam versus like the counterculture of like the hippies and stuff, it's like the rebellion would be the hippies, but then that also feels disingenuous that you would be fighting against something. So it almost would, again, feel like propaganda. So I feel like Star Wars came out at the exact perfect time. Thank you for nodding along, Luke. I feel like you're like, I want to talk more about Star Wars itself versus like, you're like, I no longer want to know about the zeitgeist. Do you guys have anything to say to any of that stuff?
Max?
No, please. Take it away.
Oh, man. All right, I'm almost done, I swear. So then I think the resurgence of the prequel era was because, again, we grew up with it, and just like our parents were talking about at lunch tables and in basements with their friends, I think the sequel era, you know, I think the prequel era was grown upon because I think we were all being able to be a little bit harsher on it and then grew to love it. I think the sequel era came in at a weird time in culture, right? We just had, the internet was bigger than ever. Twitter is now no longer just a fun space. It's becoming this really toxic place now. I think people are putting also some misplaced meaning on things. People, you don't feel Last Jedi is a very political movie, even though Last Jedi was written in like 2014 or 2015, way before the 2016 election even happened. So I think people were looking to misplace meaning onto different things, and I feel like Star Wars was just a casualty of that, specifically Last Jedi. And I feel like the sequel era, unlike the prequels, you know, we're not in a similar containment like the original trilogy was. I think the sequel era was vastly different. You know, I think in 99 to 2005, people were talking about the World Wide Web. Now in 2015, the internet's on your phone and literally at your fingertips. And I feel like the sequel era had the misfortune of being released during that time. But I also feel like that is why the sequel era will end up getting love, just like the prequels, which we always talk about. But I think once we settle into the new era, we'll be able to look back and be like, yeah, we were all crazy. And it's not going to happen yet. We're having, spoiler, the same election year that we did in 2016. And so I don't think it's going to happen within the next 4 years, but maybe in the next 8 years, I think the sequel era, and not saying it's a political thing with Star Wars, but I think we're still in this settlement of culture.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I got think him. That is really interesting. Finally, yes. Actually, no, because I'm starting to think about that now, and you are, I think you're 100% correct, and that Star Wars came out at the absolute perfect time, a little bit sooner, a little bit later, and it would not have been received the same, and it would not have been made or looked the same or anything like that. It was just perfect in the way it was. And when you look at the sequel trilogy and you look at the cultural landscape, yeah, it was probably the exact worst time that those movies could have come out, because I mean, yeah, like you said, like we were already divisive to begin with, but also we were like in the thick of this culture of reboots and remakes and sequels and stuff like that. Yeah. So that by the time these movies came out, it kind of wasn't as special anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like had it come out sooner or later, it probably would have benefited from that and been a little more unique and maybe a little more excitement for it.
Yeah. It was a weird time.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say hypotheticals like that, but every era has its pros and cons, and
for sure, yeah.
I don't know if the next 5 years are going to get better or worse, and I think it would have been too soon if the sequels came out any sooner than 2015. Like, even just 10 years between Revenge of the Sith and The Force Awakens, it doesn't feel quick to us because we lived it. But in terms of history, it does seem rather rapid.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it could have been sooner, and I don't think it would have been better if it was later up till now. Because like you were talking about, social media was starting to be bad instead of good around 2015. And it's only gotten worse since. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know, maybe if something changes in the next couple of years, but I think it came out at a fine time.
We are 5 years removed from the Rise of Skywalker. That feels so much crazier the older you get, how
yep.
quicker time passes. Because could you imagine if the next Star Wars trilogy is released in 5 years? I feel like the Rise of Skywalker just came out.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Which is insane. But it feels like Revenge of the Sith has been out my entire life.
So maybe not sooner. Maybe you're right. But I mean, maybe longer and kind of build up a little bit more of that anticipation. I don't know. That's interesting.
But it's also weird because I think Force Awakens weirdly led that path of nostalgia kick and reboots and remakes coming out. That was like really one of
that's
the first ones.
That's what I was thinking about too. Because was it one of the first ones or was it just one of the first good ones? Because I remember like the yeah. RoboCop, Total Recall.
Yes.
There was a bunch of movies that I remember seeing with my dad and yep. he had seen the old one. And I was just seeing this new one. And if you hadn't seen the old one, it was a fine action movie. And every now and again, he'd lean over and be like, that's funny because I did that in the old one. And I was like, okay, I don't get it, but whatever.
That is a great call, Luke. Yeah, there was a slew of bad like reboots like that. Like Total Recall. I don't know the years of those movies, but like RoboCop and Total Recall, they're just like so flat in comparison.
When did Terminator come back? Wasn't there a pretty long
oh, yeah. There was
the
one from
Genesis.
That was after, I think. There was the Salvation one as well.
We can't look it up because our phones are recording us, but I think Genesis was before The Force Awakens because I remember it was at the movie theater when I was working
2015,
there.
Yep. But I don't know before, but the same year for sure. But
it was a summer movie. It was before.
So that makes a lot of sense. So it just all these remakes. So yeah, you were good job, Luke. That's a great call.
Thanks.
And then the last thing I have on this, and this is maybe why I like Star Wars a little bit more to piggyback off of that episode from a while back at this point, and I'm not going to quote this, I'm not going to say this was myself, I found this while doing some research on this episode, and I found a quote on Reddit, you know, the most reliable of sources, but I didn't want to take it for myself, and I wanted to just to say the quote that I found, because I think it really does, there's something, an inkling about it that I really loved. So this person says, I don't know who the person was. I think their name was like 420 Stoner or something, so it's not really worth
nice.
It. But they said, Star Wars is a modern manifestation of a classic tragedy that doesn't just reflect the socio-political mood of our time, but the underscores of repeating human behaviors that cause the same historical patterns throughout human history.
Oh my God, this sounds like a Reddit post.
I know, but it's so correct. I'm just like, that's why. I don't think it's like when we were talking about Star Trek in that Why We Like Star Wars episode of it is very socio-political, but I think mm-hmm. Star Wars does have the underscores of repeating human history and behavior that cause the same patterns. I was like, yeah, that is exactly what, that is a huge thing in Star Wars, I think, that it doesn't just take, and that's the thing that when people say like Star Wars is political and stuff too, it's like, yeah, sure, it's always been apolitical, maybe, sure. It's like, yeah, Nazis are bad. Like that's, I think, the stance that Star Wars takes, I guess. Like it's like, yeah, good versus evil, literally the core of the idea. But the idea that like it doesn't hold a mirror up necessarily to the culture we live in the same way, I think it just looks at the human behavior and how people interact versus good versus evil. Anyway. Max, you have anything to say to that? I feel like you were thinking.
No, I. Luke, take it away.
Anyway, so that's how this could have been a lot more fun, but I feel like this was the Star Wars in the Zeitgeist episode. I feel like probably won't be doing a part two to this one. Does anybody have any force for thought?
I do have force for thought. I rewatched the first hour of Revenge of the Sith,
mm-hmm.
as you know I like to do, and so it got to the part on Grievous's flagship when they Anakin and Obi-Wan and Palpatine get captured by ray shields and then brought to Grievous, and Grievous says, ah, yes, the negotiator. That wasn't much of a rescue because they got them all. They've been captured again. But also, like, Count Dooku's decapitated head is lying several paces away from his body
yep.
in that room. So they kind of ended the war. Like, I know it wasn't much of a rescue,
yeah.
but I would get off your high horse here, Grievous, you know?
That is
really
funny.
This is still a crushing defeat for the Confederacy.
Man, that's a good point. Just the fact that I think about that a lot. Like, just a head sitting there. What does that look like? why aren't you showing that to me? I kind of, it's like
someone's gonna go pick it up after they crash land on Coruscant and be like, yep, war's definitely over, we got him right here.
That is funny. I'm trying to think of like an equivalent to that, like in World War II, Hitler dies and Goebbels is like, I got you right where I want you. Yeah. Like, well,
a lot of Hitler World War II talk this episode.
I think it's important for the zeitgeist.
It's because the German implication.
The implication.
Well, thanks for listening to our episode on the zeitgeist of Star Wars. You can reach out to us on social media or email us at forceforthought@gmail.com, and we'll see you next week.
See you, Sammy.